Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You enjoyed the broadcast. There's the violation with 2.2 to go. At Golden State, we'll look to get back on track tomorrow. Santos catches the inbounds, buzzer sounds, ball game over. Final score, Oklahoma City 131, Golden State 94. Quick reminder, tonight's Warriors shop item of the game, save 25% on the Jordan Brand Statement Edition Crew Sweatshirt at shop.warriors.com, a Fanatics experience. Post-game show upcoming on the 95.7 The Game Warriors Radio Network, presented by United Airlines.
That was that kind of Warriors game tonight against the defending champion OKC Thunder. Not a lot went right. 131-94 was the final lowest scoring game of the Warriors season. I don't know how many Warrior fans out there are terribly surprised by the result, because the Warriors down Steph Curry, down Jimmy Butler, down Draymond Green, down D'Anthony Melton. A late surprise. They were also down Jonathan Kuminga, who was scheduled and set to play, I would think, relatively large minutes in this game, but was a late addition to the injury report with a lower back issue. He was added in the afternoon, a couple of hours before the game, with lower back soreness. Then a little more than an hour before the game, was downgraded to out. So the Warriors not only without Steph, Jimmy, and Draymond, but also, again, D'Anthony Melton and Jonathan Kuminga. Anytime you say as expected for a 37-point loss, that's not accurate, but there wasn't a lot of people out there who figured the Warriors, down who they were down, were going to win this basketball game, and frankly, that it was going to be a competitive basketball game in the last handful of minutes. So the way this game went, not terribly surprising. The reality for the Warriors, and for the NBA, frankly, is these games, with the way the NBA is currently structured, at times are unavoidable. I can't imagine that Amazon was all that happy. Amazon broadcasted this game on television today, and I can't imagine that they were happy when they found out that Steph, Jimmy, Draymond, Melton, Jonathan Kuminga were all out and were not playing in this game, and they got a game that was just about over at halftime. Welcome in. It's Warriors wrap-up on 95.7 The Game. Mark Randy with you for the next hour or so as we pick through this one. And I have a feeling that what we're going to be talking about for the most part here over the next hour is not really what happened on the court tonight, because that's the kind of game it was. Again, 131-94 Thunder. They improved to 30-5. Warriors lose. They're down to 18-17. Just really quick to sum up what this basketball game was. OKC, they went up early. They led by 11 after the first quarter. The Warriors, though, fought back in the second. They went on a 9-0 run early in the second to get back within just two at 38-36. And you're thinking, wow, okay, the fight's there, the hustle's there, the spirit is there, the Warriors are fighting, they're diving for loose balls, they're forcing some turnovers. Well, Richard had himself a really good first half. Moses Moody with a steal and a dunk. Pajemski diving on the floor as he normally does. Trayce Jackson-Davis played hard. The Warriors' spirit was there, and they were making some hustle plays, and they got back within two about midway through the second quarter. And then what happened? OKC went on a 19-0 run to take a 38-36 lead and turn it into a 54-36 lead with 3 minutes left. So it was a little more than 4 minutes worth of basketball and a 19-0 run. The Warriors went 4 minutes and 42 seconds between points and 5 minutes and 17 seconds between made field goals. So the Warriors within as few as 2 points with about 7 minutes to go, a little more than 7 minutes to go in the second quarter, they, in the blink of an eye, were down 21. And then ultimately, at halftime, they were down by 19 points at 64-45. And at that point, that was just about the basketball game. But I think the biggest story that came out of this game is the continuation of one we've talked about a lot already this season. And it was The surprising addition of Jonathan Kuminga to the Warriors injury report. I want to set the stage for how this all went down because I think the timeline is really, really important here. So first of all, relatively early in the day, you get the sense that Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green not playing. Draymond was ruled out pretty quick with rest. They just simply rested Draymond. Steph Curry was listed as questionable after he rolled his ankle late in the game against Charlotte on New Year's Eve. He was officially listed as questionable with a left ankle sprain. And then Steve Kerr came on with Steiny and Goo, although it was Evan and Bonte filling in for Steiny and Goo today around 11:30. And the guys asked him about the availability of the veterans, and Steve Kerr said, yeah, Steph's not going to play. We already know Draymond's not going to play. And he said Jimmy Butler just called him and that he's feeling sick, and it seems unlikely that he's going to play. And then a handful of minutes later, we got official confirmation via the NBA injury report that Jimmy Butler wasn't going to play as well. And then Bonte specifically asked Steve Kerr if all those absences means that Jonathan Kuminga would play today. And Steve Kerr said, yes, he will play. A direct answer to the question of will Jonathan Kuminga play tonight, Steve Kerr said, yes, he will play. And then that was around noon. About 5 hours later, Jonathan Kuminga was added to the Warriors injury report with lower back tightness. And about 45 minutes after that, around 5:45 today, Jonathan Kuminga was officially declared out. So a little more than an hour away from tip-off, he was declared out after initially popping up on the injury report.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
About 2 hours before tip. There are injuries that are sustained, when you're kind of ramping up and getting ready for a game. That happens. It's not incredibly rare. The way that this one all played out, though, just feels a little fishy, of course, if you understand the relationship that the Warriors and Jonathan Kuminga have been through of late. Before I go any further, I wanted to set the stage of how this all went down, but I think to further this conversation, we're going to hear from Steve Kerr, because that's what is going to, I think, further this conversation. So Steve Kerr has addressed the media postgame already. Let's hear that full postgame press conference. In it, you're going to hear the question, multiple questions he was asked about Jonathan Kuminga and the absence, and a whole lot more, and there's more to talk about. I do think, though, that this is top of mind for a lot of Warrior fans. So let's just hear that, get that out of the way, and then we'll continue to discuss it. Steve Kerr, postgame, talking about this Warriors loss, talking about the injury report, and a whole lot more. Here is the head coach of the Warriors after tonight's loss.
Have any kind of general thoughts on
that? Yeah, I mean, it was a tough night. We obviously were shorthanded, but I don't think that was an excuse for the way we played. We weren't well organized. We didn't compete well together. Disappointing. Obviously, playing the the best team in the league, but I thought we could have been a lot better.
Hey, Steve. Happy New Year, by the way. In the second quarter, about the 7-minute mark, you guys got it within two. And then after that, they scored 19 unanswered points. Can you just kind of talk about that stretch and what happened there?
I don't know that was the stretch. I mean, it was the whole game was lopsided. They won every quarter by, 9, 10, 11 points. So they're a great team, and they got rolling. And, I didn't feel we were very well connected tonight, and never found any confidence, any rhythm.
Steve, we obviously didn't know before the game if Jonathan was going to play. When did he get hurt?
Just before the game.
Are you guys afraid that it'll linger? Is it something that it's?
I don't know. I have no idea. Yeah.
Are you expecting the other veterans to return tomorrow?
I hope so. Yeah, we'll see with Jimmy. He's at home, sick. Draymond definitely will be back, and you know, hopefully Steph will be back as well.
Al only played 15 tonight. Are you thinking about going bypassing the restriction, or is he not going to play?
I'm sorry?
Are you thinking about bypassing his restriction on back-to-backs, or not? Is he not going to play?
No, tomorrow? Al will not play tomorrow. Yeah.
Steve, was there anything that you were hoping to see tonight that you didn't see, or was there any value you can take away from a game like this at all?
Not really. I mean, we just didn't perform well, and we, like I said, there was never any connection in the game, you know, so not a whole lot to take from it.
What were you, I guess, hoping to see?
Better ball movement, better offensive possessions. You know, we had some good looks early, and you know, didn't knock down the open ones that could have given us a little momentum. But just felt like the second half, we just didn't have it, and no rhythm. We got to turn the page quickly, and you know, another game tomorrow.
There's a soundbite circulating with sort of your comments on how at this stage it's unrealistic to maybe compete for a title year in and year out to the level of an OKC or a San Antonio right now. I guess for you, big picture, is that sort of a fresh feeling that you've sort of gathered and are adapting to these last couple of years, or maybe a several year thing, which maybe including that 2022 finals run that I think you elaborated on in the soundbite as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think where we are as a franchise is we're still a good team. We're still competitive. We're trying to give ourselves a swing at the plate every year. And we did that last year. You know, we went on a run late, got to the playoffs, won a round, felt like we had a really good shot to win another round. And, you know, Steph got injured. But the point of where we are with the age of our, you know, best players is we can still be good, but we're obviously not in the same class as we were 5-6 years ago. We're not in the same class as the team we played tonight and several other teams in the league. So there's no point in denying that. So I think we have to embrace it and be realistic and give ourselves a shot. And we can give ourselves a shot like we did a year ago by connecting and staying healthy and getting on a run. And we're still good enough to do that. And if you do that and you have a shot, you get to the playoffs, you never know what's going to happen. And I think that's where we are right now. And so we got to keep fighting.
Do you think a night like tonight halts momentum at all? I mean, you guys had obviously won 5 or 6, but, you know.
No. We've had a string of games. Obviously just got back from the trip. This was the first of 3 and 4. I think this is a one-off, and we'll bounce back tomorrow night. Thanks.
All right, that's Steve Kerr post-game after the Warriors fall to the Thunder 131-94. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there, including Steve Kerr saying that he can't guarantee anything, but Draymond Green will play tomorrow versus Utah. He was out today, after all, with just rest, so that makes perfect sense. He's seemingly expecting Steph Curry to play as well. He was out today with what the Warriors officially listed as an ankle sprain after he rolled it a little bit at the end of that Charlotte game in the final minute. I think that the reason why Steph wasn't playing today had less to do with the ankle and more to do with the fact that, you know, they just played a bunch of games on the road, including 41 minutes for Steph in Toronto, and tonight is the beginning of a back-to-back, so they wanted to hold them off on one of the back-to-backs. Draymond out, Jimmy also out. This to me feels like more like a rest day for Steph Curry as well. Jimmy is the one more wild card, out with an illness and wasn't even at Chase Center tonight. The Warriors do feel like there's a chance that Jimmy does play tomorrow as well. But so that's good news there from Steve Kerr. But I think the one that perks up people's ears the most is when he was asked about Jonathan Kuminga. And we have that, our hardworking guys behind the glass, shout out to Cam, shout out to Zach, getting the sound ready for us. I want to just play this like 18-second chunk back. It's our friend Nick Friedell of The Athletic asking Steve Kerr a question about Kuminga's injury. Again, he was added to the injury report at about 5 o'clock this afternoon, a couple of hours before tip-off, with lower back soreness, was listed as questionable, and then about 45 minutes later was officially ruled out. And the Warriors, or Steve Kerr, was available to the media after Kuminga got added to the injury report, but while he was questionable, so pregame, you weren't really sure. When Kerr was talking pregame, you weren't really sure if Kuminga was going to play or not, so this was the first opportunity to talk to Steve Kerr after Kuminga was ruled out, and of course, after the game happened, after a game in which he did not play. So here's that little two-question-and-answer sequence from Nick Friedell and Steve Kerr that we need to focus on here for just a sec. Here it is. Cam, go ahead and play it. Steve Kerr answering questions from Nick Friedell.
Steve, we obviously didn't know before the game if Jonathan was going to play. When did he get hurt?
Just before the game.
Are you guys afraid that it'll linger? Is it something that it's...
I don't know. I have no idea. Yeah.
Okay, there it is. So when did Kuminga get hurt? Just before the game. Are you worried it will linger? I have no idea, was the quick answers from Steve Kerr. And hearing it, you can kind of hear, I think, some of the tone in his voice. I would also recommend going and watching it. And if you didn't see it maybe on NBC Sports Bay Area post game, I haven't been watching the post game show as I'm here at Chase Center, but shout out to Bonte and the crew. I'm sure they did air it. But if you didn't see it there, I'd recommend heading to our social media channels on Twitter at 957 The Game. We have it posted up there, and you can see the way Steve Kerr looked during this whole thing as well. And it looked like a very frustrated Steve Kerr. So the way that I see this, obviously the conspiracy theorists are running wild. And in this instance, I think this is a moment where conspiracy theorists probably have some validity to them. This doesn't seem to me like a real injury that kept a player out tonight. Again, this is just me speculating, but there are three realistic outcomes or explanations for why Kuminga did not play today. One is it is a legitimate injury, and that's absolutely possible. Lower back soreness. It happens again pregame where somebody tweaks something and they get held out. That happens. That was not any of the language that was used by Steve Kerr pregame or by Steve Kerr postgame. I can't tell you 100% that that's not what happened. That, to me, though, seems unlikely. A second explanation for why Jonathan Kuminga was a surprise scratch and or out, not a scratch. I mean, he was technically a scratch, but a surprise add to the injury report and then quickly downgraded from questionable to out. One of the others is the Warriors don't want to play him because they're planning on trading him once he becomes available to be dealt on January 15th, which is now less than 2 weeks away, and before the February 5th trade deadline, and they want to keep him healthy before that point. So they don't want to trade him, so they created a creative way to not play him when otherwise he would have played today because of all the injuries elsewhere. Okay, that's explanation number two. The third explanation is that Jonathan Kuminga himself quote-unquote made up an injury to not have to play in tonight's basketball game. And this isn't, I don't think, if that third explanation is the right one, I don't think this comes from a spot of I'm refusing to play for you, I'm quitting on this team, yada yada yada. That's not to me how this comes across. That does not seem to me to be the kind of guy that Jonathan Kuminga is. I think he likes playing basketball. I think regardless of what the circumstance is, he would want to play basketball. But if you are looking out for what is best for you, and what you think is best for you is getting traded away from the Warriors organization, which, by the way, makes a ton of sense considering what has happened specifically the last, 8 months for Jonathan Kuminga, then the best thing for you is to guarantee that you are as healthy as possible so you can get traded. I think the likeliest outcome Is not that this was a real injury that kept him from playing.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it-
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron-
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It is, in my opinion, not that this was the Warriors being creative and slapping an injury on him so they couldn't play him. This is, I think, Jonathan Kuminga protecting himself, protecting his health, so that he can be as healthy as possible once he is officially able to be traded. That is my read on the situation. But you never know. That's me again speculating. I don't have the exact answer to this. But those are the three possible scenarios. There's only three possible scenarios. It's either a legitimate injury, or one side, or the other side is making it up. Those are the only three potential answers and explanations for this. And why I don't think it is the Warriors is, and maybe some of you disagree, I would find it strange and odd for Steve Kerr to go on 95-7 the game earlier today, say we're planning on playing him, and then to have the team make up an injury so they didn't have to play him. Maybe you think the Warriors would do that. I personally don't think so. And again, I'm not holding it against Jonathan Kuminga at all. The best thing for him in his career is to get traded so he can start playing basketball again. In order to get traded, you want to be as healthy as possible. You are eligible to be traded, and the major risk that you take by playing in a basketball game when you haven't been playing in meaningful basketball in quite a while is to play in a basketball game. So I think my read on the situation is Kuminga didn't really want to play for fear of getting hurt, and he maybe exaggerated how bad his lower back was feeling. That's my read on the situation. But who knows? But it's just another step in this relationship that I think confirms that a divorce is coming, and a divorce is maybe just a couple of weeks away. I don't think that a trade is happening like on January 15th, the second that he becomes eligible to be traded, but I would be shocked if he did not get traded before the deadline on February 5th. I think that's where we are, and tonight is just more evidence in that direction. Because, yeah, I don't think there's really any other way that that we can explain what happened tonight. This was a game where Kuminga absolutely would have played. He would have played major minutes, and he would have helped the Warriors tonight. There's absolutely no doubt. And again, I don't want this, because I think that this came from Kuminga does not mean I think Kuminga is quitting on the team. That's not at all how I interpret this. The way I interpret this is Kuminga just looking out for himself. And that is absolutely what he should be doing in this situation, because the Warriors are absolutely doing the same thing on their end. They're looking out for themselves, so it is within Kuminga's right. He has absolutely every right to protect himself in this situation as well. He does not owe the organization anything, and frankly, the Warriors don't owe him much either. But both parties have the right to look out for what they think is best for them. And for Kuminga, I think what's best for him is getting traded, and the best way to get traded is by making sure you're healthy. So I think it's as simple as that, but it absolutely does indicate, I think, that this relationship is going to be ending pretty darn soon. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got more to talk about. If you want to weigh in on the conversation, if you want to react to what Steve Kerr said and about Kuminga not playing, I would love to hear your comments, your texts, your calls, 888-957-9570. I see some of the texts coming in from the 510, from the 650. I also got the YouTube chat up as well, youtube.com/957thegame for you to weigh in. You can do that there as well. Plus, we can talk about this basketball game as well, and we'll look ahead, talk about what's coming up as the Warriors begin. Tonight was the beginning of a stretch of 11 basketball games, 10 of which are at home, all 11 of which are in the state of California. Began tonight, and then they got Utah on a back-to-back coming up tomorrow. More about that and a whole lot more as Warriors wrap-up continues. Mark Randy with you live from Chase Center. Back with more next on 95.7 The Game.
Richard with a steal. Richard with a breakaway goes up and slams it down. Mitchell had his pocket picked right at midcourt. Golden State with a run. A 6-0 burst. They're down by 5, 38-33. 8:23 to go. Timeout Thunder.
Now back to Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, and that 6-0 run that you just heard Tim Roy describe eventually became a 9-0 run. Got the Warriors within two relatively early in the second quarter. Chase Center was loud. The Thunder called the timeout. And you're thinking, okay, maybe they're going to keep this competitive for quite a while. And then, after that 9-0 run, OKC said, here we go. And they went on a 19-0 run in response in about 4 minutes and 10 seconds of game time. And the 2-point lead turned into a 21-point lead. And at that point, the game was just about over. I think maybe the closest the Warriors got after that point was somewhere around 18 points. It eventually got as high as, 41 points? Yeah, 41 points was the Thunder's largest lead. They ultimately win by 37. It wasn't really competitive once you got past that 19-0 run for OKC in the second quarter to go up 21. They won the third quarter by 10. They won the fourth quarter by 8, and they cruised to a victory. They're now 30-5 on the season. The Warriors are 18-17. OKC got 30 points from SGA, the reigning MVP. It was a relatively quiet 30. They had, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 players in double figures. SGA with 30. Chet Holmgren, I thought Chet was probably the best player on the floor tonight. He had 15 points, 15 rebounds, and 4 assists. He gave Trayce Jackson-Davis specifically a lot of issues. This is an OKC team that was also down Hartenstein, Isaiah Hartenstein as well. And they just said, you know what, all right, Chet's going to be our five, and we're going to roll with that. And I thought he dominated this game. 15 points as well from Brandon Carlson off the bench. Aaron Wiggins, 15 off the bench. Jalen Williams, that's J-Dub, the one from Santa Clara. The other Jalen Williams did not play in this game as well. He had 12. Lou Dort had 11, and A.J. Mitchell had 11. This is an OKC team. It's crazy. They just bring dudes off the bench that, unless you are an incredibly deep NBA fan, that you don't really know much about. Brandon Carlson came off the bench and scored 15 points in 21 and a half minutes. And Chris Youngblood came off the bench and scored 9 points in garbage time in less than 9 minutes, made 3 threes. He's an undrafted guy out of Alabama, where I think he played like five years of collegiate basketball. They just have a lot of dudes that they can throw in there off the bench that can shoot threes, that can play perimeter defense. And it's just why they are the best team in the NBA. They got the best roster in the NBA, and they can overcome injuries all over the place. And they'll still win a lot of basketball games. They have lost, for their standards, a lot of basketball games lately. I think now in their last 10, they're 6-4. And considering that they're 30-5 on the season, that is a pretty crazy stretch for them. 3 of those 4 losses in their last 10 games are all to the Spurs. They are 0-3 versus the Spurs, and they are 30-2 against everybody else in the NBA. So the Spurs have OKC's number. OKC has everybody else's number in this NBA. Meanwhile, for the Warriors, you had 6 players in double figures in this one, 4 of the 5 starters. The only starter not in double figures was Guy Santos, but he had 9 points. You got 13 from 3 different players, Will Richard and Moses Moody and Al Horford, who played in this game. Interestingly enough, I thought that was kind of odd because Al Horford is not playing in back-to-backs. All the other veterans sat out or were injured for this one and are expected, at least Draymond for sure, and I think Steph also expected to play tomorrow. Jimmy dealing with an illness. That is, I would imagine, a legit illness, but he also might play tomorrow. But Al Horford probably, and in fact, I mean, unless we haven't heard otherwise from Steve Kerr, does not play in back-to-backs, which means he's not going to play tomorrow. But he had 13 points in this one, 11 as well from both Buddy Hield and from Quentin Post. But no one really had any kind of shooting night. Will Richard, your highest scorers were Will Richard and Moses Moody. Moody was all right, 6-for-12 from the field. shooting the basketball, 1-for-4 from deep, but Will Richard was 5-for-15 and 2-for-6 from deep to get to those 13 points. The Warriors shoot 35.6% from the field. OKC's defense is best in the league. When they turn it up and they really want to lock in defensively, it's hard for anybody to score on them, let alone a Warriors team without Steph, without Jimmy, without Draymond, without Melton, without Kuminga. Like, it's going to be difficult for the Warriors to score. And OKC holds the Warriors to the Warriors' lowest scoring output of the season at 94 points in this one. All right, Warriors wrap up here on 95.7 The Game. Mark Randy with you. I think the biggest story out of this basketball game was, again, the Jonathan Kuminga absence, who was expected to play in this one. Steve Kerr said as much on these very airwaves at about 11:45 or so today on our midday show. Bonte and Evan filling in for Steiny and Goo, and he was asked point blank, will Kuminga play today? And he said, yes, he will play. And then about 5 hours later, Kuminga was added to the injury report with lower back soreness, was listed as questionable. And about 45 minutes after that, around 5:45, Kuminga was officially ruled out. So he did not play in this game, a game in which I think he would have played, a game in which Steve Kerr said he would have played. And then Steve Kerr had this back and forth post-game with our very own Nick Friedel of The Athletic, who you hear every week, multiple times a week here on 95.7 The Game. Here is Steve Kerr addressing the Jonathan Kuminga questions post-game. Here it is. Here's Coach Kerr.
Steve, we obviously didn't know before the game if Jonathan was going to play. When did he get hurt?
Just before the game.
Are you guys afraid that it'll linger? Is it something that it's...
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah. All right. When did he get hurt? Just before the game. And then do you think it's going to linger? I have no idea. That to me sounded like a coach in Steve Kerr who it was not his decision for Kuminga to miss this game. That's how I read it. And frankly, I think it makes the most sense. The Warriors are probably getting to a point where they don't want to needlessly risk Kuminga injury either, because this relationship, I think, is at a spot where a trade is the only solution. It's nothing. I don't think it's anything personal. This is just business, and both sides are going to be doing what is best for each other. I think this probably came from Jonathan Kuminga and Jonathan Kuminga's agent reading the writing on the wall once all those veterans were ruled out, which is why it would make sense that Kuminga would be the late addition to the group. Once all the veterans were ruled out and Kuminga and his camp could figure out that he was likely going to play in this basketball game, or he was going to be called upon to play in this basketball game, they said, you know what, as much as JK loves to play, we think what's best is for him to not play in this game so he can be 100% healthy for a trade, and because that is the best thing for his career, so he can start playing major minutes again, just playing minutes period, but they're hoping so that he can be playing major minutes going forward on a different team. And of course, an injury would put a big threat on any potential trade. So Kuminga, I think, absolutely acting in 100% self-interest, which is absolutely within his right. He should be doing it, frankly. He and his camp decided, you know what, let's say my back is hurting me, so I can't play in this basketball game, because all I want to do is to get my career back on track, and I don't want to risk being injured ahead of, we're now less than 2 weeks away from when he can be traded. So that is my read on the situation. We'll see where it goes from here. Once everybody comes back, I would imagine we will return to the norm, which is, unfortunately, at the moment, Kuminga just sitting on the bench and getting DNP CDs. Did not play, coach's decision. So we'll see where it all goes from here. That is my read on the situation, that Kuminga and his camp, I would imagine Aaron Turner, his agent, involved in the conversation. And Aaron, I know you're listening often. If you want to let me know what happened, you know, DM me on Twitter or whatever, let me know. But that is my read on the situation based on what's going on here. All right, let's keep it rolling on Warriors wrap up on 95.7 The Game. Mark Randy with you live from Chase Center. This was a loss that I think most of us expected. I mean, OKC is the best basketball team in the league, and I don't think it's particularly all that close at this point. They're 30-5 now on the season, and they can just throw countless 3-and-D wings at you. They've got great defenders all over the place. But for the Warriors, I don't think, and this was one of the questions Steve Kerr was asked post-game, and I think it was a really good question. Does this kill any of the momentum that you had after winning five of your last six games, playing good basketball, probably playing their best basketball since early in the season when they began the season 4-1. Maybe those consecutive wins in San Antonio come to mind for you. They won 4 of 5 in that stretch at one point. Also in mixed in there was a loss to this Oklahoma City team as well. But this feels like some of the best basketball the Warriors have been playing over a bit of an extended period of time. Steve Kerr said no. They better hope not, because this is, I think, up to this point of the season, the most important stretch of Warriors basketball is this stretch coming up. Tonight began a stretch of 11 basketball games, 10 of which were at home for the Warriors, and the 11th of which is still in the state of California down in LA versus the Clippers. So tomorrow, Utah is in town. It's a back-to-back, but considering who did not play tonight, the Warriors have really done a good job of kind of taking away the big negative impacts of a back-to-back. Players like Moody and Pajemski and Post and Will Richard, those guys, of course, will all be playing back-to-backs, but they're all youngsters. They can make it through that, no big deal. If Draymond plays, which he's expected to, if Steph plays, which I think he is going to, they, of course, did not play tonight, so they shouldn't be feeling the effects of the back-to-back. So the Warriors should feel relatively good about their chances to win tomorrow. Then you go to LA versus the Clippers on Monday. You return home for Giannis and the Bucks on Wednesday. Sacramento comes to town a week from tonight on Friday, the 9th of January. Atlanta is in town the following Sunday on the 11th. Portland, Tuesday, the 13th. The Knicks in town the following Thursday. Then Charlotte, then Miami, then Toronto. That is that full 11-game stretch, which began tonight. 10 games at home, all 11 games in the state of California. And one thing that we were talking about earlier today on 95.7 The Game, I was in on Willard and Dibbs filling in for the guys, taking the holiday off. It was Sterling Bennett and myself. And one of the questions we threw out to the listeners was, this 11-game stretch for the Warriors, which began tonight and ends on Tuesday, January 20th, with the Toronto Raptors, how many wins, what would the Warriors' record have to be for you to consider this a successful 11-game stretch? I think it's 8-3. And now with tonight's loss, which I think most of us would say was expected, it's 8-2 in the next 10 is a successful stretch for the Warriors. That is a really good record. You might think it's a little bit optimistic or aggressive, but I think considering the way the Warriors have been playing basketball, and I'm basically going to ignore tonight because the Warriors were down their three most important players, and I happen to think D'Anthony Melton is really, really important. You could argue he's maybe their fourth, fifth, sixth most important player as well, and you're going up against the best team in the NBA. This is one, in my opinion, you kind of forget about, you sweep it under the rug, and you move on. The Warriors are playing, I think, some of their best basketball of the season, and you get a lot of home games against not like all bad teams. There are some bad teams mixed in there, no doubt, but there's also some quality opponents. You feel good about your chance to beat Utah tomorrow. In LA versus the Clippers doesn't look anywhere near as easy as it was maybe a couple of weeks ago. If you haven't been following the Clippers, they're winning a lot of basketball games of late, and Kawhi is dropping 40 or more points seemingly every single game. Now, they're still 12-21, and they're going to get Zubats back. I believe he's going to come back tomorrow ahead of the game on Monday versus the Warriors. So Zubats will be back, but the Clippers have won 6 games in a row. They were 6-21. They're now 12-21. In those games, Kawhi Leonard is absolutely going crazy. Let me read to you the Kawhi Leonard game log of late in these 6 wins. Kawhi Leonard, in the 6 wins, 32 points, 41 points, 28 points, 55 points, 33 points, and 45 points. Again, 32, 41, 28, 55, 33, and 45 for Kawhi Leonard in this six-game winning streak for the Clippers. They're playing great basketball, by far their best basketball that they have all season long. They're holding teams under 100 or right around their off. And they held the Lakers to 88 points. They held the Pistons to 99 points. They held the Kings to 90 points. They held the Jazz to 101 points. They held the Blazers to 103, and they held the Rockets to 108. So over the course of six games, the most points they've allowed is 108. In today's basketball, those are crazy numbers. So LA is playing a whole lot better. That will not be an easy game in LA, there's no doubt. Milwaukee at home versus Giannis will not be easy. The Warriors lost to a Milwaukee Bucks team without Giannis in Milwaukee earlier this season. Ryan Rollins took over. And by the way, Ryan Rollins had 29 more points tonight. He's just simply put, a really good basketball player. Ryan Rollins returns to Chase Center and the Warriors on January 7th, next Wednesday. Sacramento is in town Friday, January 9th. That should be a Warrior win. And I guess before I go any further, let's just pick these games win and loss, because again, I said 8-3 should be the Warriors' goal. They already lost one, so 8-2 from here on out. I'll say Utah win. I will say Clippers loss, because the way the Clippers are playing, so that's 1-1 so far. I will say a win versus Milwaukee at home. That's two wins. A win versus Sacramento at home. Three wins. A win versus Atlanta at home. Four wins. I say they beat Portland at home. They finally beat Portland. It's the fourth time they've played. This game coming up, the Warriors have lost the first three matchups. I will say, though, a loss versus the Knicks, that's 5-2 in these next seven games. They'll beat Charlotte. That is six. They'll beat Miami, that's seven, and then they'll beat Toronto, that's eight. So 8-2 in these next 10 games is my read on this for the Warriors. That, I think, would constitute a successful stretch of basketball. And if we play the standings game for just a little bit, the Warriors currently sitting with today's loss at 18-17. If they were, again, just hypothetically to go 8-2 in their following 10, they would be sitting at 26-19, and that would probably be enough to at least climb them past the Phoenix Suns, and who knows how it would be the rest of the way. The Warriors currently sitting in the 8th spot in the Western Conference, 2.5 games behind Phoenix, 3.5 games behind Minnesota, sitting at the 6th spot. So we'll see how it all plays out. But these next 10 games are of the utmost importance for the Warriors. If they just kind of limp through and they go 5-5 in their next 10, they go 6-4 in their next 10 to make it 6-5 in the 11, including tonight, things are going to get pretty rough around here, because this is the moment where the Warriors' schedule really turns and changes. And if you do not yet take advantage, suddenly you're towards the end of January, the trade deadline is just a couple of weeks away, and you don't have a ton of basketball left, right? The Warriors now are 18-17, which is 35 games played. We are 6 games away from the midway point. So by the end of this stretch, I'm talking about the next 10 games, you will be past the halfway point. And if you're still hovering right around 500, it's going to feel like a repeat of last year, where you have to sprint to the finish line just to make the postseason. Or in the Warriors' case last year, to try to avoid the play-in, but to still be stuck in the play-in. So these next 10 games, they're imperative for the Warriors, I think, to go at least 7-3. I'm saying 8-2, because if you don't, you're going to have to begin the sprint once again. And I don't think there's any I think there's plenty of reason to believe the sprint is maybe what cost Stephen Curry that calf issue that kept him out against Minnesota, that he suffered in game one of that second round series. Going 7 versus Houston certainly didn't help either, but these next 10 games are hugely important for the Warriors. Warriors wrap up here on 95.7 The Game. Mark Randy with you a few more minutes. I want to circle back to what happened in this game real quick before we get on out of here. I mentioned some of the shooting nights for the Warriors. Will Richard finished with a tied for a team high with 13 points. Moody also had 13. Al Horford also had 13. I think Will Richard was one of the Warriors' best players tonight. I know that's not saying a ton, considering they only scored 94 points, a season low. We're down by as many as 41, lost this game by 37. Like, it was not pretty. When I say he was one of, if not their best player, that, again, that's a relatively low bar, because that's just how rough of a night it was for the Warriors. And his final stat line offensively doesn't look all that great. 13 points on 15 shots. That's really bad efficiency. I thought Will Richard, though, when the Warriors were playing their best, and specifically that 9-0 run in the third quarter, I thought his fingerprints were all over it, in the second quarter, I thought his fingerprints were all over it. He just simply makes things happen when he's on the floor. He is a guy that will get his hands on loose balls, will get a steal, it'll lead to a dunk, he'll make the right pass, he'll put the ball on the deck and cut to the rim, he'll naturally cut when a ball handler drives and make himself available, he can knock down the open three. Will Richard is just a guy, when he's on the floor, things make sense, and good things tend to happen. So, I don't think he should come out of the rotation at any point going forward. I think one of the worst things that the Warriors and Steve Kerr can do is to choose who plays or not based on what they've accomplished in the NBA in the past. You just have to go with the guys that you think will help the team win the basketball game or win the most basketball games going forward. And in my mind, Will Richard is absolutely in that group. I know a lot of Warrior fans were up in arms, myself included, when Steve Kerr told Willard and Dibbs on this very station that the reason why Will Richard was not playing was partially because, you know, he's a rookie, and some of the guys that he was choosing on playing over him are veterans. That, I don't think, can happen anymore. The Warriors don't have the luxury of placating to veterans who maybe feel like they deserve the minutes more than a rookie does. You play who you think is doing the best job. And to Steve Kerr's credit, I think that has been the direction he's moved in, like, the last couple of weeks, oddly, ever since he said that to Willard and Dibbs. So we'll see where it goes from here. I just wanted to highlight, I think, Will Richard tonight, because I thought he did a great job in this basketball game. And when Steph is back, when Jimmy is back, when Draymond is back, I still think that Will Richard should be in the rotation going forward pretty darn consistently, because I just think good things happen when he's on the floor. Tonight, harder to see it when you lose by 37 points and you're down by as many as 41. Like, the Warriors' best plus-minus in tonight's basketball game, let's see. It was a negative 10 from Guy Santos and Brandon Pajemski. And Will Richard, who I've been singing the praises of, was a minus 19. Not great. Not great at all. But, yeah, I mean, the Warriors, I still think, have seen enough from Will Richard that he's going to be pretty consistently in the lineup going forward for the Warriors. So the Warriors lose tonight. It was never really much of a basketball game other than a little stretch in the second quarter, a 9-0 Warrior run. A 9-0 Warrior run. It was Pajemski free throws, a Trayce Jackson-Davis layup off of a Pajemski drive and assist, Will Richard a steal and a dunk, as I was talking about, and then a Will Richard three that forced timeout. Came off of another Oklahoma City turnover that got the Warriors within two, but then a 19-0 OKC run to push the lead back to 21, and that was just about the ball game. One other thing. I know there's probably a lot of Warrior fans out there who are maybe driving back from Chase Center right now and are frustrated by the game that they watched and are frustrated by the guys who did not play, and that is absolutely fair. You know, imagine you wanted to see the defending champs. You got to see them, but you wanted to see them tested, and you wanted to see Steph and Jimmy and Draymond play against them and say, I don't know, you got these tickets a month ago, and you paid a pretty penny for them. Or maybe you got them as a Christmas present, and your parents surprised you to see the Warriors and the Thunder, you know, a week after Christmas. And you're excited, looking forward to this game, and then you find out, leading into the game, that Steph, Jimmy, and Draymond, and others are not playing. I can't imagine how frustrating that must be. All I'm going to say is, the Warriors, I think, are absolutely doing the right thing for the basketball team, for trying to maximize the number of wins they can get this year. This was likely going to be a loss. That's how good OKC is. So, you know, you kind of punt. The Warriors will never admit it, but you kind of punt on this game tonight to increase your chances of winning tomorrow versus the Utah Jazz. You take the split, you're happy with the split, and you hope that holding some of your veterans out from tonight's game leads you to more success in other games. What I will say, though, is it's not fair to the fans, and I think it is absolutely the fault of the NBA and the way they schedule a lot of these games. And this part of the season and all of the changes that have been made to the NBA season. You have the Warriors playing like two games in the span of 12 days in early December to make way for the NBA Cup. Meanwhile, you have a back-to-back today and tomorrow, fresh off of an East Coast road trip where you just played 2 days prior to this game tonight. You're playing three games in four nights. One of those games is in Charlotte. The other two games are all the way back here on the West Coast, and they're on a back-to-back. The way that the NBA schedules things just makes no sense. You got to make sure that you have a couple of days off before that Christmas Day game, because you want Steph and Jimmy and Draymond to play in that game. So make sure they have the 23rd and the 24th off leading up to that Christmas Day game, but we're going to give them a back-to-back fresh off of an East Coast road trip. They're going to have a whole lot of time off early December because they didn't make the NBA Cup, and it's going to serve as like a second All-Star break. Time off is great, but the time off is great only in that moment, and all those days off there kind of are lost when you have all these games in rapid succession later on in the season. So I think the NBA schedule is a mess, and I feel for any fan that attended this game hoping they were going to get to see Steph and Jimmy and Draymond play against this OKC team. I'm just telling you, while it might feel easy to blame the Warriors because they are the ones that ultimately make the decision on their players, I think it's an NBA scheduling issue more so than a team issue, because the Warriors are just trying to do what they think is best. And what they think is best is not punting, but, you know, realizing this OKC game was going to be really, really tough even if everybody played. Let's focus on getting a win versus Utah and going from there and using some of this time off to gear up for the games ahead. So we'll see. We'll see what the NBA does going forward. I think something's got to change. It feels unlikely that they're ever going to take away any games, because we know all the money is involved there. But something's got to change with this schedule. And, of course, this is an issue for the Warriors that is amplified because of the age of their players. So I don't know. I don't know where it's going to go from here. But I do think the NBA needs to make a change. And one way in which, you know, they could be pressured into making a change is if their broadcast partners, like Amazon tonight, voice some displeasure with some of their games, frankly, losing a lot of interest because of the injury report. And the Warriors aren't really fooling anybody. I mean, they listed Draymond as out with rest, with Steph Curry with a left ankle injury. He probably would have played if the Warriors do not play tomorrow night. I don't think this is an injury that normally would cost him a game, but that's just me speculating. But Amazon cannot be happy with what happened tonight. There's no doubt about that. All right. That's going to do it for Warriors wrap-up tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in. The Warriors fall to the Thunder. Final score in this one, 131-94. The Warriors back to a game above 500 at 18-17. And coming up next for the Warriors is the Utah Jazz tomorrow night at 7. Normally, Saturday games here at Chase Center are 5:30 games. Tomorrow's game is a 7 o'clock game. I will say that's a good decision by the NBA on a back-to-back. Give the Warriors the full 24 hours from tip time to tip time. But a 7 o'clock tip tomorrow, which means our pregame coverage with Warriors Live begins at 6. I will be here with you for that. I think there might be some other big Bay Area sports game going on tomorrow, but we've got Warriors basketball at 6 with the pregame show, and then tip-off coming up at 7, and I will be here for Warriors wrap-up tomorrow night as well. Before I get on out here, I want to remind you, You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM in HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. One final time, Warriors fall to the Thunder, 131-94. Utah, the Jazz, led by Lauri Markkanen. They are in town. Keontae George, if you have not seen Keontae George play yet, you're going to want to watch him tomorrow. He is one hell of a fun player to watch. He's in town along with Lauri Markkanen for the Utah Jazz tomorrow. Again, tip-off is at 7. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Mark Randy, signing off. Thanks as well to Cam Williams behind the glass in our San Francisco studios. We'll talk tomorrow. Have a great rest of your Friday night, and thanks for listening on 95.7 The Game.